With that, let us turn to Scripture. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story is told about a man who took great pride in his lawn. Nothing gave him greater joy than to have the best lawn in the neighborhood. He fertilized it and limed it. He watered it and cut it. It was nearly a perfect lawn, except that it had dandelions. Every spring, the dandelions would sprout and bear their yellow faces to him as he sat on his front porch. He tried everything that he thought of to get rid of them. He sprayed weed killer. He dug them up. He called the local lawn service. Nothing seemed to work. And finally, when he exhausted everything he knew to do, he wrote the Department of Agriculture. And he explained all the things that he had tried to do to get rid of the dandelions. A few days later, a letter in the mail returned to him. Mr. Smith, thank you for your letter outlining the problems that you're having with your dandelions. We understand all the things that you've done to rid your yard of them. We have only one more thing to suggest. Mr. Smith, we suggest you learn to love them. Learn to love them. No one likes to learn to love, do they? We like to fall in love, but no one likes to learn to love. And maybe what we find going on as we read our story today from the Gospel of Luke. It's an interesting thing as we read about Jesus' life and ministry in the Gospels, and the way that he works with different people, trying to get them to look at life from a little bit different of a perspective. And as you would suspect, today's story is in the same way targeted to help his hearer understand what he already knows. Here's a man. We're told that he is a lawyer, and he stands to question Jesus in a forum. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus is no fool. He knows who this man is. He knows that this man has been working on his faith all of his life. As a lawyer, he knows how one should act and respond to the Jewish faith. He's an arbiter of everything that needs to be done to earn salvation. Follow these 600 or so laws and you're in, right? Jesus is no one's fool. He knows that this man knows what he knows. But Jesus also knows that there is one teaching that is maybe the most important one. And he wants to teach it. He said it before. He will say it again. He wants us to get it. And what he wants to get is the center of his teaching. He teaches it in another place. I've got a new commandment. It's the first commandment. It's the most important commandment, that you love God and you love one another. As I have loved you, you also should love one another. This will be the thing that reveals your discipleship. If you love one another, you may think you've got a lot of important things to do in your life, but this new commandment is to love one another. And Jesus finds himself in a teaching situation, and a lawyer stands near him, and he asks this question, this final exam question, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And for the lawyer, this is a question that cuts through everything. It's a question in his mind that is worth 95 points on the final exam. He's been working really hard at making sure that he's got everything right, but for some reason, maybe he's wondering if following all the laws is sufficient enough. Maybe he just doesn't feel like keeping up with the laws any longer. Maybe he just wants to trick Jesus with a question. Whatever his reason, he knows that this question is going to produce the most important answer. If you don't get this one question right, the 95.1, then forget about how you follow all the rest of the laws. And so Jesus is a good teacher. He doesn't even answer the question. If this lawyer can really argue his case, if he really knows his stuff, if he really expects everyone else to follow this, then he should already know the answer himself. And he redirects the question back upon the lawyer. Mr. Lawyer, you tell me, what's written in the law? What do you read there? How do you interpret all of these laws? Which one do you think is most important? I don't know about you, but if Jesus posed that question to me, I might stumble around a bit. 600 plus laws to choose from, and I get to choose one? But the lawyer seems to get it right away. Love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. That, Jesus, is the most important one. Now, there's a part of me that would love to have seen the facial expressions on Jesus and this lawyer as this exchange of wits happens. You could almost imagine smiles as the lawyer gets the question right. And then Jesus' smile beginning as he's got a good comeback question. It's time for Jesus to say, "You're right. Do that, and you'll live." Now, when we take that answer at face value, what we realize is that this answer is not a very easy answer. At face value, loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself is a huge answer. They're at the top of the commandment list because they cover just about every other commandment. Do we like the implications, though, of that commandment? You wonder whether or not there might be some exceptions to that rule. Of course, Lord, you don't mean to say love my neighbor when that guy double-crossed me. You don't mean to love that woman who hurt me. You don't mean to love that person who slighted me. What you mean to say is love me when it's a pretty good bet that they will love me back. But that, of course, is not what Luke says. Love one another with a love that expects nothing in return. It's an unconditional love. It's an enormous commandment. It makes, of course, all the sense in the world. Would we not expect anything less from the creator of the universe? That if there was one commandment that he wanted to leave with us, an all-encompassing commandment, would we think that it would be a commandment that we could easily fit into our lives? Can God so easily be domesticated? Can God so easily be co-opted into our agenda? The story is told of St. Augustine walking along the seashore. And he notices a little child sitting at the water's edge. And he had dug a hole in the sand, and with every wave that came in to the shore, he was trying to gather all of the water and put it into this little hole. And Augustine watched it for a while, this child trying to put the sea into his little hole. And it dawned on him that that is what we humans try to do as well. We encounter the life of God and the teaching of God, and we think somehow with enough exceptions to the rule that we can make it fit into our lives. But God was never meant to fit into the box that we created. God is God-sized, and God is trying to expand us with God-sized expectations. Learn to love the dandelions. In other words, expand your life that the unlovable can be loved. The story is told that during the civil rights struggle, there was a little town down in Mississippi that had a boycott of the merchants. And the boycott was organized by leaders in the black church, and it was a peaceful and constructive demonstration, but the police were not on their side, and they handled them pretty roughly. At the very apex of the struggle, the chief of police had a heart attack and was put in the hospital for several weeks. And even though he was confined to his bed in a private room, he continued to supervise the activities of the police and he had his deputies report to him on every day. And one day one of his men said, well, they're planning a rally tonight at the AME church. They say it's going to be a prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, the chief snorted. Huh, I'll tell you what. It's a warm night, they'll have their windows open. Go over and sneak beneath the windows and listen to what they're planning. Give me a report tomorrow. The next day, the deputy returned. Did you do as I said, the chief said? Yes, sir, I did. Well, what happened? Well, they sang some hymns. Well, of course they sang hymns. What else happened? They prayed. Yeah, I bet they did. What did they pray for? They prayed for you, sir. They prayed for you. What might we expect from the God of this universe? A final answer that fits snugly into the compartment of our souls? If we were to boldly ask God to come into our lives, would we not expect that God might expand our understanding of what it means to love our neighbor? Might that push some of us out of our comfort zones? Maybe it's loving that curmudgeon that lives down the road that doesn't like it when you walk your dog by. Or maybe it's loving, even though you may not understand fully what they are going through, those people who peacefully protest in the Black Lives Matter movement. Or maybe it's even loving those police officers, even the ones who have used excessive force. Maybe it's offering love and care to someone going through a difficult time in their life. Here's one for you. Maybe it's loving Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And maybe even praying for them. You know, the Bible actually tells us to do that. Paul says that. And come November, even though half of us will be disappointed one way or another, we're still called to love. You see, that's the thing about this love that Jesus encourages us towards. It's boundless, to where the enemy becomes the brother or sister. Alvin Strait lived in northwestern Iowa, Lawrence, Iowa, to be exact. Alvin was 73 years old when he got a call that his brother had a stroke and he was not doing well. And Alvin was blind enough to have had his driver's license taken away from him, so he had no way to get to his brother who lived 240 miles away. So Alvin did the only thing that he could think of to do, which was to pull out his 1966 John Deere riding lawnmower and drive it. 5 miles an hour was as fast as he could go, but he went. He pulled behind him a 10-foot trailer to carry his belongings, and 4 days into the trip, his engine blew, so he had to wait to get someone to fix that. With about 90 miles to go, he ran out of money, and so he had to wait again until his Social Security check was forwarded to him. 5 miles away from his brother, the mower broke again, and he got a farmer to push him to town, but he got there. 40 days later, he got there, because according to Alvin, love knows no bounds. Love, face value love, God-sized love has this way of expanding you, taking us beyond our bounds. So what about you? Do you have any boundaries around your love? You ever hear about Anwar Sadat's arrival to Israel? Anwar Sadat, the Arab terrorist, the one who wished Israel dead, Anwar Sadat, the one who had everything to lose if he brought to Israel an olive branch. And lose he did as he was assassinated. But Anwar Sadat also said this: when a man's heart is animated by love, he is naturally impelled to accomplish his vocation. Without love, a man may grow very old indeed, and yet feel as though he hasn't lived at all. He would feel he has missed a very important thing, that however great his achievement, he has really achieved nothing. Sounds a lot like the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic power and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away my body so that I may boast, but have not love, I gain nothing. So Jesus, as he responds to this man's questions about eternity, the one who was there at the beginning of the universe, this one who was there when the Big Bang was set into motion and the universe has been in this ever-expanding expansion since, why would he not want to expand us? To leave us this all-expanding command, the God-sized expectation for our lives, the very gift that animates us and makes us larger than ourselves. But what about my enemy, Jesus? What about the person I can't stand to be around? What about the double-crosser? What about the person who hurt me so much? I suggest, Jesus says, that you learn to love them. Amen.